Today on Real Life Radio.
It's the Holy Spirit's business to take of your life because there's more that God wants to do with you. And it's His job to stir you up and to remind you the things that God has put in the Word of God and to cause you to experience a biblically based experiential faith.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 4. If we want the Holy Spirit to lead our lives, it's a conscious choice we need to make each and every day. So what does that look like in the life of the believer? It's when we watch, when we listen, and it's when we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us to God's purpose for our lives. You know, the truth is there are constant lessons for us to learn, and in the Holy Spirit we've been given an amazing teacher. The Holy Spirit works in us to make us more like Jesus, peeling away at our sinful nature and replacing it with love, with self-discipline, and with power, even the power to boldly preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit longs to show us the deeper things of God so that we can learn what it really means to be a Christian. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when we as Christians ignore the Holy Spirit's promptings, we end up without any passion in our lives and no direction. God has gifts for us that we simply don't want to miss out on, but it takes diligence and focus to unwrap all that He has for our lives. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. Matthew 10:19. Jesus said, "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that very hour what you should speak." Listen. "For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." The Spirit of God speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. John 16:13. "However, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak." So think of that. The Holy Spirit is receiving from the Father and from the Son exactly what is to be told to you and to me. And He will tell you things to come. Verse 14, "He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you." That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's business to take of your life because there's more that God wants to do with you. And it's His job to stir you up and to remind you the things that God has put in the Word of God and to cause you to experience a biblically based experiential faith, that you live out a real Christian life. If that didn't exist, I quit. I would stop tonight. I'd give up. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." The Holy Spirit. One more verse, and then we move on. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. This is amazing. Revelation 22, 17. I hope you're listening, taking notes. "And the Holy Spirit and the bride," that is the church, "say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Notice that in right at the commencement of eternity, the church is in heaven and the Holy Spirit and the church are speaking and they are inviting those to come and to drink of the water of life. Remarkable. Okay, here we go. Now, as we move along, if you've been taking notes in all of our time together, one, He will begin to call upon you and to His family. Two, He'll show yourself to you. Thirdly, we saw that He will begin to reveal Himself to you. Four is this: He will begin to prompt you toward a vision. God is going to prompt or promote in your own private life a vision of purpose. The Holy Spirit, this vision that I'm talking about, is the key, in my opinion, to the success of ministry, be it personal or church-related. This is vitally important. The Holy Spirit is the one who will prompt vision in your life. So listen, maybe tonight, right now, whoever you may be, you're a Christian. You cannot deny the Lord Jesus. You're not happy about how your life's gone, but you can't deny him. Your Christianity has been lackluster, to say the least. And so you're even wondering, you know, should I even live anymore? Well, number one, if you're a Christian, you have no authority to think those thoughts. Okay, let's just give that up right now. I'm thinking about killing myself. Are you a Christian? Yes. You can't do that. It's not allowed. If you're a Christian, you don't have the authority to do that. Number two, stop blaming God because your Christian walk is so boring and so powerless. It's not his fault. It's your fault. The reason why things are not happening for you is because you have been grumbling or griping somehow, some way, shape, or form. You have grieved the Holy Spirit, and he's withdrawn. He's not left you. He's just withdrawn. He knows you're not going to listen to him. He knows you won't obey him, and so he's quiet. And you haven't had an encounter with God in so long, you're like Ezekiel's dry bones in Ezekiel 36. You're dry. As I said earlier, there's nothing unusually fantastic happening. There's nothing amazing that's going on where you cannot define it, where God's doing it. You don't, none of that. Your day is a ho-hum drum day, and Mondays is as predictable as next Friday for you. And you're depressed. If I were you, I'd be depressed too. I'm talking to the believer right now. I would be depressed if there was no vision. If God the Holy Spirit was not speaking into my heart about this and then this and then this and challenging. Oh my goodness, doesn't he challenge you? Doesn't he challenge you when, doesn't the Holy Spirit say, I want this done and I want that done and I want you to do this and I want you to do the other? I'm constantly challenged and I'm grieved because I'm not always obeying. I want to, I mean to. I have the right intentions. I don't always follow through. And then I have to throw my hands up and go right back to the first step and say, oh Lord, you just showed me and I don't like what I see in me. Help me, Lord. Vision. Proverbs, listen to this. I'm gonna give it to you in like five different versions. It all sounds the same, but there's a little variation. All of them are great. Are you ready for this? Write this down. Normally I would say, if you're gonna get a tattoo, this is a good one. Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. That's out of the old King James. Where there's no vision, people perish. Wow. New King James is, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. That's a little bit more elaborate. Vision is defined as revelation or unveiling. Proverbs 29:18 in the NIV. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Obviously very similar, if not exactly, to the New King James. Listen to the ESV, English Standard Version. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. That's pretty good. What do you mean, Jack, prophetic vision? I'll tell you what I don't mean. I do not mean this. Oh, I've had a vision and you're supposed to marry that guy. Oh, I've had a vision and... No. This word, prophetic vision, is the going forth of the plan and the purposes of God. So where there is no plan or purposes of God, the people cast off restraint. They go, well, you know what? Listen to the next one. The New Living Translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. I'm going to read it again. This is the New Living Translation. It's not even a Bible. It's a translation. But it's very, very practical. When people do not accept divine guidance, God speaking, church, listen, who's the one who speaks to us? The Holy Spirit. When we do not listen to the Holy Spirit, we run wild. That's what the Bible says. Wow. He will begin to prompt you toward vision. You'll recognize, he said, what does that look like? He will work in your heart to where in your family, in your church, in your community. Now look, you're a Christian and you are in Christ and you represent Christ. You're an ambassador. And so when you're open, just think right now, everyone right now, we can do this as believers. Can you do it where you're at? Will you agree with me? Let's do it together. Lord, in Jesus' name, I am once again opening up my life, my will. I'm determining, Lord, now to yield to you completely and open up my life to you, that you would fill me with a prophetic vision that I might live my life with purpose rather than having no direction and wind up doing whatever I want to do. If that's your prayer tonight, if you are honestly sincere about that prayer, God the Holy Spirit will cause you, listen, God the Holy Spirit will cause you to start seeing things that need to get done. He will start prompting you to say things that need to be said. If you meant that devotion a moment ago, this is what will happen to you. You will start having thoughts like, I think I'm going to encourage that guy. And that's not even like you. And you think all of a sudden, I'm gonna say, good job. Say it. I never thought like that before. Listen, if that thought pops into your mind now, it's not going to be Satan. It's going to be God. The Holy Spirit's going to prompt you to do something. If you go to a church and you're the person that goes like this, I don't like the color of the carpet. You know what? I don't know if I can come back here because the pastor doesn't have a tie on, or the pastor does have a tie on. I don't know. You know what? And everything's like this. It's like all for you. It's not about God. It's all about you. God's not going to speak to you. But if you just made that devotion seriously honest a moment ago, you can say, Lord, speak to me. And you'll see needs. And instead of criticizing the needs, you're going to have a passion to fulfill those needs. You're going to wind up being the one to do it. It's exciting. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, poema in the Greek language, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. That is in eternity. Imagine that. In eternity, God created the very, very purpose and plan of your life. And then he goes on to say that we should walk in them. God's got a very, very absolutely tailor-made, custom-designed ministry for you, the believer, no matter who you are in the world, no matter where you're at, God has given you an ability to edify other Christian believers, no matter who you are, period, says Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And you need to know that. And then listen, finally for tonight, Lord, and the sixth argument on this is that he will begin to impart the gifts you'll need. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, tonight, we're coming near to the end of our study right now, but this door is going to open up and stay open for a while in studies to come. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has given at least one gift according to the Bible. And it's a divinely given gift. If you're a salesman and you can really talk up a storm, don't think for a moment that you can be a preacher or an evangelist. That's not what God does. That's not how he does it. No way. He doesn't do that. You say, well, you know what? I can really do this well. Maybe my gift is that. Don't think like that. Whatever your natural talents are, those are to be presented to God. Look, did God make you really bright with numbers? Thank God. That is a talent that glorifies God. But are you the person that is good with numbers, but at the same time, you're like a Barnabas? You have the gift of encouragement. You encourage people. You're always saying, you know what? God bless you. I'm praying for you. I have a friend. You know what he does? It's amazing. He can't even communicate to me without saying, I love you. We're in this together all the way through to the end. We'll get this great day today. Great message. Praying for you. That's the gift of encouragement. And God has a gift for you. So listen, we're going to go really quick because I want to do some Q&A really quick. Very quickly, write them down. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he, that is the Holy Spirit himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Those are gifts. And in the future, we're going to unpack them. What are they? What do they do? Who's got them? Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Romans 12, 6 begins there. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that has been given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in the ministering. He who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberty or liberality. He who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural manifestations of teaching, supernatural manifestations of giving, supernatural manifestations of mercy. 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given, that's one of us, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Holy Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Do you hear that? To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, drop down to verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after this, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. And then he says in verse 29, oh, I love it. Listen, we're going to end here. I love this. So many of you have been bound up and ripped off by bizarre teaching. Listen to this. He says in verse 29, are all apostles? The word in Greek means nope. Are all prophets? Nope. Are all teachers? Nope. Are all workers of miracles? Nope. Verse 30, do all have the gift of healing? Nope. Do all speak with tongues? Nope. Do all interpret? Nope. Do you get that? God the Holy Spirit gives gifts independently for the building up of the body of Christ. Man, we're just getting started. We got to end. But listen, you guys, we do have some questions. It popped up on the screen behind the camera, and so I'm going to read it if I can. If I was baptized at 9 years old, not knowing what I was doing, just doing it for my mom, should I be baptized again since now I understand salvation? Absolutely yes, you should. Absolutely yes, because listen, it's not that you didn't mean it when you were 9 years old. 9 years old understands perfectly fine. But it's your conviction that you got it now. You got it now. Should you be baptized? Yeah, you know what? You should be. It doesn't save you, but you should be baptized in water because now you understand and now you can talk about it and now it's a testimony. So that's a great question. It's a very common question, by the way. Second question tonight. As a Christian believer, am I a fraud or is something wrong with me for having anxiety attacks? No, you're not a fraud. Anxiety attacks are caused by all kinds of things. Anxiety attacks can be chemical. Anxiety attacks can be hormonal. Anxiety attacks can be, they can be brought on by us not, listen, this is probably a very big deal. We can have them brought on upon us because we're not trusting in God. So, but I don't want that to happen. Okay, if you want to trust God, you got to read this. It's not going to happen any other way unless you read it. You got to read it. You got to eat it to get it in you. And it mitigates our anxieties. Look, let's be honest. Every human being in this world has forms and levels of anxiety. If somebody tells you they don't, they are liars. Everybody does. But listen, our world today has been programmed to pop pills. I am not saying that you should stop taking your medication. Your doctor knows your particular situation. But I do know this, that this Bible says that in the last days, anxiety levels will reach a point so heavy that men will have heart attacks by seeing what's happening to the world around them. That's in Luke's gospel. And that's a warning to the end times. But do not think right now, listen, if how about this? If you were a fraud regarding your anxiety, you would not have asked that question. You wouldn't even care if you're a fraud, you see? Only somebody sincere and true and wanting the Lord's power in their life would have phrased that question. Do we have another one? As a Christian believer, if the Holy Spirit is sanctifying me, does that mean I can attain a sinless life at some point? Yes, you can attain a sinless life at some point. Let me answer this. If the Holy Spirit is sanctifying you, can you or will you reach a moment or a time where there's no more sin in your life? Absolutely yes. It's the day you drop dead. The day that you absolutely, as a Christian, drop dead as a believer is the day the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit's complete and you have been released from your body of sin and death and you are no longer a sinner. You have been freed and you've entered into perfection as a believer and you've reached your state of sinless perfection. Pastor, when? When you die. Until then, you and I are going to be plagued with temptations. And listen, it's not only the sins that we commit, but we are sinning when we do not do the right thing that we were supposed to do. So that question comes from a legalistic background, and that's why I kind of tricked you with the answer. When I first gave the answer, the person went, woohoo! And then when I said the word dead, they didn't like that. No one's going to reach sinless perfection as believers until you're dead. The cool thing is, as you get older, a lot of the sins that once plagued you, they begin to diminish away, but you still have sin. Next question. Does the Holy Spirit give every believer the gift of tongues? No. I just read it a moment ago. If so, how do you receive it? Listen, your answer is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 to 30. The Holy Spirit will not give the gift of tongues to everybody. He will not do that. He said he doesn't do it right here in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 29 to 30. So you say, well, how do I receive it? Well, first of all, let's do that. Here's what you want to do. In fact, we're getting ahead of this next coming studies, but you'd want to do this. You'd want to say, Lord, will you stir up whatever gift or gifts that you have from eternity, by the way, before the worlds were ever created, you knew, it says in the scriptures, what gift or gifts are mine. Will you show me those gifts? Cause them to come up within me, Lord. Cause them, Holy Spirit, stir up those gifts.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 4. Thanks for being with us today. The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life and brings to light a process where we can logically reason together while looking to God for the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, the Holy Spirit reminds us that He is our strength and He is our source. But there's also strength in numbers, especially when it comes to the body of Christ. So, why don't you join the thousands who are following Pastor Jack on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram? You can be a part of what's happening with continuing updates, posts, messages, Bible studies, and so much more. Be sure to comment and hit that like button as long as you're there. We've made that real easy for you to do. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and access Pastor Jack on social media. That's jackhibbs.com, or you can find social media access when you download the Real Life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.